Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord in heaven, we humble our hearts before you in prayer. We're dependent on you, Lord. We ask for your strength. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your will to be done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I have what I consider a really important message tonight. God's leadings. And I feel like if we can kind of tune in and think about the importance of following God's leadings. You see, God has a plan, and I've heard that in this message, for each and every one of our lives. And if we follow his leadings, we'll be able to accomplish what he has and what he intends for us to do. But it's more even deeper than that, because not only accomplishing it, it's going to take us obeying his leadings to make heaven. We heard this morning, different ones were expressing about heaven, and I believe if I was to ask how many here want to go to heaven, I don't think there would be any hands down. That's right. So I'm going to ask, how many of us want to go to heaven? You see, there is a way to get there. God has mapped out the way. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot map our own way out. We can read the Bible, and we can, you know, understand the Bible. But when it comes to us getting to heaven, we're going to have to go it how God leads. We cannot go on our own. Many people, they have their own way. You talk to them, they might say, you know, God and I have an understanding. In other words, they doing it their way, but God understands me. Yes, he does understand us, but it's going to take following him to be able to make it through and to see the beauties of heaven. Let's go to Acts 8:29. We're going to read 29 to 39. And I would like to have someone to help me read, please.
Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down it both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
See, we want to look at what happened in this passage here. The Spirit led Philip. He told him just where to go. And when he went to where he told him to go, then there was a soul there, hungry, no doubt, for God, reading the scripture, not understanding and needing to be for it to be expounded to him. And you see, there was a soul that began to believe in Jesus. He was able to teach Jesus to him, and he believed, and he was willing to get baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. I believe this so strongly that God wants to lead us just what he'd have us to do day by day. Not some days and then other days do something different, but day by day, even moment by moment, even hour by hour. I was thinking that the other morning, the Lord had led me to do something. It was in the middle of the night. Had I not done it, I would have been ill-prepared for what was going to happen. And so I realized sometimes the Lord, we may think, oh, you know, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go eat. I'm going to do this or that. But the Lord may have a different plan. He might divert you to a different way. Let us, those that want to go to heaven, let us be very conscientious of the dealings of God, how he speaks to our heart, what he tells us to do and not to do. When he says go, let's go. When he says stay, let's stay. When he says speak, let's speak. When he says be quiet, let's be quiet. It's very serious. We will not make heaven if we do not learn how to follow the leadings of the Lord. Pray for me. God is so good to us, and we want to be good to him. We want to be faithful to him. I was thinking about how that there are so many examples in the scripture, and we want to read a few of them, of people who followed the leadings of the Lord perfectly. You know, some of us can do some hitting and missing. We follow the Lord in some things, but in other things, we follow our own mind. God doesn't want that. He wants us to follow him. Footy, footy, I used to hear. Let's go to Genesis 5 and 24. Enoch was one of those people. Let's read.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
He walked with God. Can we walk with God until the Lord take us? Yes, we can. Sometimes the enemy will make you think you can't do that. But you know, it's easier than you think. It's easier than I think,
yes,
to walk with God and obey him perfectly. But we have to be listening to him, listening to his voice, listening to his dealings. Yeah. If he says, stop. Sometimes the Lord will start to say something. We think we can fix something. And we'll start to say something or respond to it, and the Lord give us a check. How many of us have obeyed all the checks the Lord may given us? Many times as we look back over our lives, we'll see some checks we kind of walked over. And then later on, we'll wish we had listened. Let's make it a practice.
Yes.
Let's work hard to do God's will. Let's make this our purpose and our aim, to be obedient to him, to do it the way he wants us to do it.
Yes.
Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 8. Abraham was another one. Abraham was obedient to God. And God, today he's called Father of the Faithful. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see, sometimes the Lord might say, for instance, we'll just bring it to our everyday life. He might say, I want you to go to Oklahoma City. Say, go to Oklahoma City for the service. And we might think, well, Oklahoma City, why do I need to go to Oklahoma City? I don't understand this. But if we follow the Lord, when we get there, it'll be something that God wanted us to do. It may be a soul he wanted us to reach, or something that would enhance his kingdom. He wants a people that he can trust. Are we going to be a people that God can trust, that he can depend on? You know, I speak this several times. When you have children, it's really important, if you have a dear child, that when you tell them to come, they come. And when you tell them to go, they go. Some of them, you have to call them two or three times before they'll come. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants to call us, and we do it. Why am I here? I'm here because God wants me to be here. That's the way we should be. Let's go to Genesis 12 and 1. This is Abraham as well. God told Abraham to go. He didn't know where he was going, but he followed God anyway. He followed his leading. And he inherited the promise. We can inherit the promise of God if we will only follow his leadings. If you get it before I do, please read it.
Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee.
Read on, please.
And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
All right, I really want you to read all the way down to 4.
All right. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years when he departed out of Haran.
See how he did? He told him to get from among his people. That could have been an issue where he might say, but I don't understand. These are my people. I won't have anybody to support me. I'm taking my family away from my people. I don't understand this. But if God says do it, what should we do? We should do it. Because then we're going to inherit the blessing. He said, and thou shalt be a blessing. No, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. If we want to be blessed of the Lord, we're going to have to follow his leadings. Let's go to Noah now. Noah's another one. Noah really had a challenge. This is Genesis 6 and 9. He had a challenge because God told him to build the ark, and it was going to rain, and it never rained. Can you imagine him working for 120 years following the leading of the Lord? Or 100 years, I don't know. People say different things. And people probably making fun of him and thinking, that doesn't make no sense, you know? They never had any rain. This man must be crazy. Can you imagine all the things he must have heard all that time? But he kept on following God's leading. And sure enough, God was faithful to his word, and the rains came. And he was able to be saved and his family. We don't know exactly why God tells us to do things. Sometimes we might, sometimes we may not. But let's trust him, his leadings, his guidance, and what he wants us to do. You know, we don't have much time. I say this, I feel the urgency of the time that we need to do all we can while we can. We don't know. It may be a few years and we not have the very privileges we're enjoying now. But if we have followed the Lord and his leading, we can have confidence of his help and his protection. Let's go to Elijah. You know Elijah was a prophet, and he did what God told him to do. He had the results of it. He never even had to see death. There is a blessing in not doing God's will. 2 Kings 2 and 9.
And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.
And we're going to read on till he goes up.
And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
You see what happened to Elijah? Elijah, from following the Lord, he never even had to go through the death process that we have to go through. And he went up by in the chariot into heaven. And of course, as we read on with this story, we find that Elisha got his request as well, because he was able to see him go up. He was able to take the mantle that fell from Elijah, and he went by, had to go by the, I think maybe it was Jordan, and he said, Oh, my father, what is, I've forgotten exact the words, but he's, Yes, and departed, the water parted. I believe God wants to do some real miraculous and great things with his people if we will follow him. He wants to show his great strength. You know, the reason I believe we don't have as much, we are not doing what he'd have us to do, but I believe we can have confidence if we do his will. I was thinking today, they were talking about faith. I was very tired. But how, brother said, he wants to be a man of faith. I want to be a woman of faith. Yes. And just today, I had a problem, and I had to pray for God to work it out, and he brought back that service this morning. How? And he just wants somebody that he can have confidence to believe him. So I asked, then I held on to faith, and the Lord worked the problem out. He wants all of us to just be like that. Let's just rally behind doing his will and following his leadings. And he will show his great power, and he will be people of faith. Jesus set the perfect example of following his father's leading. Let's go to John 4 and 34. But I want us to realize that, you know, some people do things because they feel like they have to. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want that kind of service. He wants us to follow his leadings because we love him. Jesus loved the Father. That's why he did everything that he told him to do. If you can get that, please.
John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Can we say that? Can we say that today? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is what we need to do. We need to make that our whole purpose in life. John 8:29. We want to be like Jesus. I was so inspired by Brother Ed in his message, said at the end, when the scales are there, he want to be here and he want Jesus to be on the other side. What an inspiration that made me feel. I could see myself standing on those scales on one side and I want Jesus on the other side. We can follow his example. We can do what he did. We can love the Father so much that if he say to do, we do. If he say not to do, we don't do. John 8:29.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
That is what we want to do. He will not leave us alone. He will be there with us in whatever circumstance we are in if we'll just do whatever he tells us to do. But there were people in the scriptures that did not follow the Lord's leading perfectly. And I want us to read one sad story in the scripture. It's in 1 Kings 13. We're going to read from 1 to 33. And we're going to look at how that maybe today we might be doing just what he have us to do. Tomorrow we might be tempted to do it our way. Let's not let that happen. Because if we do it that way, we're going to end our life. It's going to end up in disaster.
First Kings 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before.
Okay, stop just a minute. See how this man was a man of God, and he pronounced what was going to happen, and it came to pass. His words came to pass. And then when Jeroboam tried to say get him, he didn't like what he was saying, then his hand withered, and then he couldn't pull it in again. But God gave such great power and such victory here. But let's read on.
Verse 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest.
Okay, stop just a minute. Now, after the Lord healed him, then the man, Jeroboam wanted the man of God to go home, refresh himself, go with him. But he said, I won't do it. Even if you give me half your house, I'm not going to do it because the Lord has said don't. So he knew plainly what God wanted him to do. Read on, please.
Verse 10, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So he saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest.
So again, you see, he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Read on, please.
Verse 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers.
Just a minute. And so you see, sometime when I read this, I wonder, did he kept saying what God said, and he kept saying, I can't do it, but did he secretly in his heart want to go? It seems like he did. And so he accepted this lie from this prophet. But you know, when God gives us a clear direction, we don't need to try to seek a way out. We just need to ask God to help us to be able to do it. Read on.
Verse 23, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet to whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him.
Okay, stop. You can stop there. So the lion really, he must have not really wanted to eat him, because he just tore him and then he stayed there. This was his punishment for being disobedient. You know, I want us all, myself included, to be encouraged to do all the Lord tells us to do. Sometimes we can talk to our family And maybe we feel like the Lord wants us to do a certain thing, get to talking to the family. They might say, oh, I don't think you ought to do this or you ought to do that. But we are responsible to God. And some people maybe go and say, well, I think I'm going to go and ask this minister, or ask this person. But if God told you, now, there are people that need guidance. The devil will play God to them. But if we know definitely what God wants us to do, we're going to be very responsible for it now and in the judgment. I want to read one more scripture in this one. We want to think of where the blessing of being able to obey the Lord. What are we going to get in heaven? This is just a little glimpse of heaven. It's Revelation 20, verses 11, 12, and 13.
Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
Yes.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works.
Yes. So, see, as we do and obey the Lord and follow his leading, we can look forward to this time, going to heaven, going before the great white throne, and being accepted with him. I want us to look at this Psalm 55 in our songbook. It's called The Bondage of Love. You see, if we love God, it makes it possible. It helps us to be able to be obedient to him and to follow his leading. This song says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round, like the deep moving current that girdles the sea. With omnipotent love is my poor nature bound, and this bondage to love sets me perfectly free. So see, we might feel in a sense we're bound, but it's freedom. It's freedom in obeying God and following his lead. For years, my soul wrestled with vague discontent that, like a sad angel, overshadowed my way. God's light in my soul with the darkness was blent in my heart ever long for an unclouded day. If we will willingly fling ourselves out on the will of God, we're going to find such great peace and love and victory and freedom. And now I have flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the sea stream of the infinite will. I passed the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God his dear purpose fulfill. Forever I choose the good will of my God, in holy deep riches to love and to know. The serfdom of love to so sweeten the ride that its touch make its rivers of honey to flow. Roll on, checkered seasons, bring smiles or bring tears. My soul sweetly sails on an infinite tide. I shall soon touch the shores of eternity's years and near the white throne of my Savior abide. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My soul is now free, for the precious blood of Jesus cleanses even me. Pray for me.